blessing to be here this morning and be able to join together in worshiping God. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus was teaching and casting out demons and reasoning back with the religious leaders when a woman spoke up from the crowd. She cried out and she said these words that was an exclamation of her excitement and her enthusiasm of hearing the wonderful words spoken by Jesus. She said, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." But Jesus said, "More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Jesus was often teaching in crowds of people. People were coming to witness the miracles that he was performing. And some of the teaching that he did was an exchange with the people as he was speaking. So it wasn't unusual for someone to speak up like this out of the audience, out of the crowd, and say something. And this woman, her words were meant as an expression of how happy she was to be hearing Jesus. She was expressing joy of what a wonderful teacher this was, that was a blessing in the lives of the people. And knowing that some of the religious leaders had come to challenge him or maybe even to attack him and tear down the influence that he was having, she wanted to speak up and express her support that he was doing such a wonderful job, and the people ought to be behind him, listening to him, what he was saying. So this woman's words here were words that Jesus stopped and allowed. He was not upset at all for her to interrupt this or to add this comment that she was making. And yet, Jesus took every opportunity that was given to him to guide people to a deeper level of their thought. Many times in the teaching that Jesus gave, his purpose was always to teach on a level that people could understand, but help them go to a higher point of understanding. And that is what he did here, because by coming back as he does here, he's not rebuking this woman at all, but he is bringing out the deeper truth that those who truly are blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Jesus on many occasions spoke parables. And in this particular instance, he was teaching about casting out demons and the influence that they might have. And he talked about the fact a little bit earlier that the strong man cannot enter the house of the strong man. You cannot enter the house of the strong man unless you bind the strong man. And his purpose was to show that in everything he was doing, he was binding Satan. He was defeating Satan. And those who were suggesting that the casting out demons that he did was, he was in a league with Satan in some way, could not possibly be true. The words that he spoke all made sense, and the people were able to see the truth. So this woman, in her enthusiasm, speaks up, and she thinks of the mother of Jesus. How blessed this mother of Jesus must be to have a young man like this who is speaking such wonderful words and having such a great impact throughout the nation of Israel at this time. We can appreciate that as we think about motherhood and how joyful it is for a mother to see her son becoming a faithful servant of God. I don't want to embarrass Lynn, my sister-in-law, this morning, but I want to say a word about her son, Kevin. Kevin is an adopted son, and Lynn and Eric, many years ago, did a wonderful thing adopting him as a baby just after he had been born. And he has a disability. What is it called? Cerebral palsy. And it affects his ability, his walking, and so forth. But Kevin is such a bundle of joy and energy. And he walks into a room and it just lights the room up, it seems to be. But he has been preaching some wonderful lessons and working with the preacher. Lynn and Eric now live in the Atlanta, Georgia area, and the Cummings Church of Christ, Mountain View congregation there. Sounds like a wonderful group of Christians. And Kevin is just growing wonderfully. And what is he, 19 now, 18? 18 or 19. He's getting ready to enter college, I believe. So, wonderful thing. And I can just imagine how proud Lynn and Eric are when they see him standing up there. Well, something like that type of feelings that this woman is envisioning on the part of Mary, the mother of Jesus, that here is her son, and he is preaching and doing these wonderful, amazing things. Well, truly, what she was saying, there was a lot of truth in, because Mary was blessed of the Lord. When the Lord came to her and he announced through the angel that she had been chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. In Luke chapter 1, for example, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you, blessed are you among women. And Mary, as a young woman, was given this great challenge or this great choice of her life to be the mother of the Son of God being born into the world. And the wonderful thing about her is how she accepted that. She was willing to submit and to be obedient to the Lord. Because in Luke 1 and verse 38, she said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And as she saw the baby developing within her womb, she was told by her cousin Elizabeth in Luke 1 and verse 45, "Blessed is she who believed. Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb." Wonderful things like this were truly indeed said of Mary, the mother of Jesus. And for her to see her young son growing up and becoming the servant of the Lord as she witnessed him when he was 12 years old and the temple in Jerusalem speaking with the men of the law. And he was saying those words, "I must be about my father's business." And as he returned home, and the Bible says that he was subject to his parents, and that the grace of God was upon him, and that he grew. As I love the statement that is made in Luke 2 and verse 52, "Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." But honestly, this is one of the few, if only, passages that we find in the New Testament where anyone speaks up and gives words of praise to Mary. That concept of the Mariolatry or the worship of Mary, we do not find any support for that in the New Testament. This is the closest thing that I think we probably do find here in the words that this woman speaks. And in her words, she is giving that enthusiasm of what a mother must feel to have a son like this. But there is nothing in these words that she has spoken that comes anywhere close to the idea that has grown up that Mary herself is to be worshipped as a part of the being the mediatrix between God and man. That is a human idea that has grown up but is nowhere to be supported in the Word of God. And what Jesus says here in response to this woman is what I want us to think about in our time this morning. That his response here is that rather blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Even the fact that Jesus was related to Mary and that Mary was his mother and that he had brothers and sisters, Jesus in several places took the opportunity to remind people, that's not the real thing that I have come to earth for. To publicize that relationship that I have with my physical family. And there were other occasions that Jesus was called out from the crowd and he said, those who are truly my family are those who keep and do the will of God, the will of my Father. And it is that relationship and that connection that draws us together this morning. There is something about that bond that we have in Christ and that bond that we have through the Word of God that we all become brothers and sisters. But not in a physical sense, but in a much greater, higher sense of spiritual relationship that relates us to Jesus Christ, that relates us to one another, and relates us to God. And it's that relationship and that depth of understanding Jesus is pointing out here in these words, that those who hear the word of God and those who keep it. I want us to think about the fact that the order there is very important. Those who hear the word of God and those who keep it. It begins by hearing the word of God, because until we have heard the word of God, we do not have it in our hearts. We cannot have it in our hearts unless we listen to the Word of God and hear what it is saying. It is possible for us to read the Word of God. But it is also important that we, as we are here doing this morning, and as you are listening to the words that I am speaking, to teach from the Word of God is how we are able to listen and hear the Word of God. And Jesus goes beyond that to say, those who hear the word of God and those who keep it. The hearing of the word of God, the Bible says, is how faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And unless we have heard the word of God, we cannot have faith. We begin to have faith because we hear the word of God, and it begins to build trust. As Bill was pointing out, In the words here at the Lord's table, the importance of trusting God with all of our heart. That comes through faith, of hearing the Word of God. The Word of God is what gives us our faith and helps our faith to be strong and helps our faith to grow. So it begins by hearing God's Word. And one of our troubles, I say, or challenges in our world today is focusing our minds so that we pay attention and listen to the Word of God. There are so many other distractions today to keep us going away in our thoughts to something else instead of paying attention to the Word of God. We have the opportunity, we're blessed to have the Word of God readily available to us, to own the Bible, to have in our own possession the Word of God that we can open and read. And we have the freedom in this country to be able to assemble and worship and hear the Word of God being taught. It is truly a blessing. But Jesus spoke about some in his teaching who, though they would hear the Word of God, did not hear the Word of God. That it would not sink in, that it would not bear fruit. And that the devil would come and take it away from their hearts. And so he taught in parables and he tried so diligently to help people to grasp and receive the Word of God. The Word of his Father that he brought down from heaven and acknowledged himself that all that I do, it comes from my Father. And the words that I speak are the words of my Father. He said in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 14, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. God's word then needs to be understood by each one of us. When the Ethiopian eunuch was riding in his chariot, he was reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip was directed by God to come and meet him at the chariot, and he asked him the question, "What are you reading? Do you understand what you were reading?" And he said, "I've been reading out of the prophet Isaiah." But he said, "How can I understand unless someone helps me and someone guides me?" So it is important that we hear the Word of God and that it be explained, that we are able to grasp the meaning and understand what God's Word is saying. Blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. And there are blessings that come to us in our life when we hear the Word of God and we keep it. The word that Jesus uses is a word that really means to grasp hold and to cling to the Word of God. That once we hear the Word of God, we want it to remain a part of our heart and our life. And that is consistent with what the Bible in the Old Testament taught about the Word of God. Because in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 1, beginning with verse 1 through 3, Jesus said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." Think about the fact that the beautiful Psalms opens on the very point that Jesus speaks of, that those who are blessed are those who hear the Word of God and keep it. The person that David describes is a person who delights in God's Word. David himself, he was described as a man after God's own heart. He was a man who loved the Word of God. I find that the people that I feel an instant connection and an instant bond is when I get together with a person that I sense has a love for the Scripture. Someone who has spent time taking in God's Word and who has it in their heart and who loves His Word. And that is what shapes their lives and their thoughts and their actions. I feel drawn to a person like that whenever I am able to meet them. And fellow Christians in general, we all have that connection that we have in common. The Word of God is what draws us together. David is pointing out how important that is to make that the foundation of our life and to delight in the Word of God. The Word of God brings such joy to us. Being able to have it in our minds and in our hearts as we go through the day, that as we live and serve Him. In the 119th Psalm, David wrote a psalm of great length in which he extols the Word of God from beginning to end. This is the longest of all the psalms, of course, Psalm 119, and is divided into the Hebrew alphabet of the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet, but in each one of them he is giving praise to the Word of God. There are many verses from the 119th Psalm that are so outstanding that comes to our minds. And in Psalm 119 in verse 11, he said, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." God's word then helps us to be reminded to remain faithful against the temptations of life that come. Having God's word stored in our heart implies that we know those scriptures by heart. We have learned them so well that when a situation comes up in your life, we're reminded of the word of God. Like Jesus was when he was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. And each time a scripture came forth from his mouth, and he said, "It is written, Satan," and he would respond to the temptation through the scripture that was appropriate to that moment in his life. In Psalm 119 in verse 97, David said, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." He said, "You make me through your commandments wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation." In verse 105, he said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God's word then guides us and directs us through the choices that we make in life, the paths that we take. We're able to be on a solid ground and the light guiding us. We're not in the darkness when we have God's word and we are familiar with what it teaches us. In James 1, verse 21 through 25, James points out how our life is blessed and we are changed as God's word comes to be implanted in our hearts. He says in James 1:21, "Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does." God's word then is able to change our lives. It is able to change our whole outlook on life and our ability to live in a way of being victorious and joyful and living an abundant life because God's word is stored up in our hearts. That is why Jesus is saying what he is saying. It is a blessing. It was a blessing for my mother. It is a blessing that she was able to give birth to the Christ. He agreed with that, but he said, "Rather blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." In Matthew 7, in verse 24 through 28, Jesus, as he came to the close of the Sermon on the Mount here, he spoke about the word of God as he had been teaching God's word to the people. And he began to say, "There is a choice before you. There are two paths that you are going to have to choose from." But in verse 21, he said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you that practice lawlessness.'" He went on to say in verse 24, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. Jesus is saying here that there is a life that will stand up to the storms that we will face when we have been obedient to the Word of God. When we hear the words that Jesus spoke and we keep those words and follow them and practice them in our life, it is building our life upon the rock, building it on a solid foundation, building it upon truth, receiving truth into our life and following it and practicing it and building our hopes and our faith upon that basis. We have a solid foundation for life to be built upon. And there's nothing that compares with that. Whenever we think about a person then in our life who is truly blessed, we might think today of someone who was related to a famous person or who has known a famous person. Someone who has gone on to be greatly successful in this world. But Jesus says, no, the great blessedness is those who hear the Word of God and keep it. Those are the people that are closest to the heart of God, and those are the ones that are going to reap the greatest benefits. If you're here this morning and you are seeking to build your life upon the right foundation, upon Jesus Christ, it's so important that we take the words that are spoken from God's Word, that we spend time regularly growing in these things and learning the Word of God so that it becomes a part of our life. And our life is truly being built upon the rock of the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the hope that we have, the foundation, the firm foundation upon which we are preparing for eternity. If you're here this morning and subject to the invitation of Jesus, we're going to stand and sing to invite you to come this morning and lay down your life and surrender yourself to Jesus in faith and obedience to the gospel. Repent of your sins. Be baptized into Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you'll be raised up in newness of life as Jesus has promised. So if you're here this morning and subject to that invitation, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Why do you wait, dear brother? Oh, why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to